Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا عفوا بالعقد صدق الله العظيم الله رمالك فاسفوكم الشيء This is the first ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 and the expression of it and expression of it is O you who believe fulfill all your obligations fulfill all of your contracts A hadith which you are familiar with now and a dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wal-ajzi wal-qasr wal-bukhli wal-jubr wal-dala wal-da'a lil-dayna wal-ghalabat al-rijal. It says, an expression of it is, I seek refuge with you, that is Allah. I seek refuge in you from anxiety and grief, and I seek refuge in you from helplessness and laziness, and I seek refuge in you from cowardice and niggardliness or miserliness, and I seek refuge in you from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are continuing on the fifth of the daruri, which are the five obligations for building ummah. We have been proceeding in the topic of wealth or mal or property. These subjects are based in a set of verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, going from ayah 261, we actually started, but also on reflection, I have to always remind and add to it for you. You should start at 259, and then it goes all the way to 286. The conversation that we're having now is based on 270. Yes, 270. And without going over any of the prior matter, you can go to the series and find it on meshedwarathine.org and also Vimeo.com, looking under my name, trying to archives of all the series that we've been addressing for months. So therefore, I'm not going to go back over any of those details for the sake of time, and it's not necessary if that's your interest. So we're going to focus on today, Ghalabat al-Dayn, being overpowered by debt. Being overpowered by debt. And there's so very much to say. I decided to say, well, look, just make sure the things that you want to say, the points that you want to make, just list them, read them, and mashallah, deliver. So what comes to mind, I think, as a simple way for us to get the appreciation via the punchline when it comes, is that there are many, many different forms of money, many different forms of money. Historically, there are now, and frankly, practically anything can be money. Just when you understand the nature of what money is, anything can be money. But without elaborating on that, let's look at some of the things that have been money. Cowrie shells have been money. Salt has been money. In fact, the word salary comes from the Latin word for salt, because the Roman soldiers used to be paid in salt. A part of their payment was in salt. So the word that we have today for salary is from one of the historic ways that exchange were facilitated. In that case, it was salt. Also, tea bricks, little bricks of tea from Mongolia, Siberia, Tibet, and China. These bricks of tea were forms of currency. Cacao beans, the Mayans and the Aztec civilization also used cacao beans. Tobacco in the early American colonies. Livestock was capital. In fact, the word capital itself comes from the Latin word capitalis, is an Italian word, for the head of cattle, It's like when we talk about a cat, we have a cat, and cap is capital, right? So capital is a term that's a holdover from the way that your wealth used to be counted, and it used to be counted in cattle, right? So that's capital. And then also, that term cattle is also tied to the word chattel, the C-H. If you pronounce the C-H as a K, then you can get chattel as cattle, which also lets you know that slaves, just in case you didn't know, slaves used to be money too. Slaves were money, and the kind of slavery, the unprecedented slavery of the American West, was chattel slavery. One of the most interesting ever about money, what was money? The Yap Islands have what you call the rye stone, R-A-I, the rye stone. And the rye stone, they can be as large as whatever, this door, you know, both of them. A stone that stays in place, big, round, got a hole in it, and that's somebody's money. And that person can go around in the Yap Islands doing business just on the fact that it's accepted that this is your money, that you have this money. Where your money is? I own this stone, the Yap stone, right? And that's money. And it's used as currency right? Or what in that case? I don't think that's the reason. I'm going to check in Micronesia. So they're large limestone discs, those rhinestones. Also feathers on the Pacific Island of Papua New Guinea, feathers, especially the feathers of the bird of paradise. So feathers. So a person gets bird of paradise feathers, he's got money. So the feathers are money, stones are money, beads are money, cocoa beans are money and have been used as money in different civilizations. Also in China, in ancient China, they had knife money. Knife money is little small replicas of knives. That was the money in ancient China. And then there's what you call, it's called wampum. Wampum was a form of currency used by Native American tribes that consisted of beads made of shells. And I think the sale of Manhattan has something to do with those beads, that wampum, right? All right, so the point is, chocolate, playing cards, just anything can be money. It's a matter of who's agreeing to this identification of this item as money. This is very, very important, all right? I need to mention another thing because I want you to go look at it further, because I want you to understand money is an abstraction. Money is an illusion. Money is a social construct. Money is gurur, Quran says. Oh, anything can be money. What's money in the world you and I live in right now? I'm talking about the world is dominated by central banks. And don't start getting worried about it. This is supposed to be religious. Listen. Al-Islam is deen al-fitr. Deen. And this is ghalabat al-dayn, that same word that says being overpowered by debt. Your very religion, your way of life is about debt. Every morning we wake up as Muslim, you owe God salat. Every time you get some resources, you owe Allah his right in what he blessed you with. Every time Ramadan comes around, you owe to Allah to fast. Okay, so back up. And Al-Islam, there are no barriers for Al-Islam. Okay, Islam, you can talk about prayer, you can talk about this, but don't talk about that. And see, that's the deception in the whole world that we live in right now. Money among, after sex, if you really want to know, money after sex, so you can see how crazy this world is about sex right now, and you are, and you should be able to see how crazy the world is about money, that is, with regard to money. We're crazy about it, but you're crazy about it. I hope that makes sense to you. nobody wants you. The masters of the world and in Wall Street, they call them masters of the universe. They don't want you to know about the reality of money. We need you. Oh, check this book, old book. I don't know where you can find it. Culture Against Man. The author's name is Henry. But bottom line is saying, this world needs stupidity in order to exist. If we really understood economics, I'm paraphrasing, if we really understood economics, we would stick our hands in our pockets and never take them out. Because this world needs stupid people in order for it to continue to operate the way that it does. When you become too smart, too intelligent, you're a problem for this society. And the biggest place that they want you to be stupid after sex is money. Why do you think they call it donut? We'll save that for later, okay? I need some bread, right? Need some dough. But you a donut. The donut shaped like that. We tennis aficionados. I won't shout nobody out, but I know who you're shouting out. A bagel has meaning in tennis. And zero has meaning in tennis. Work with that while I find my notes here. What's money in this world, in our lives right now? Debt. I'm going to say it again. But you got to let it soak in. In this world, in this economic system, which is global, this fiat currency system, this fractional reserve lending system, we think the money is the paper and the coins and even the credit card that we look at. That's money. That's money. No. That's a token to represent what they say is money. Do you know only of the currency that's in our economy, dollars, speaking of dollars, only 3% of it is this paper money. Only 3% of it. So what is the rest of it? And we got our brothers and sisters in so many cases, but of course, we see the brothers first. We killing each other over that paper. And that ain't even real money. Debt is what this system runs on. A couple of notes here. The existing debt-based money system is fundamentally flawed and unstable in the long term. This is mainly because banks create money as debt through a process called fractional reserve lending. There's a brother here, he was our banker. He knows better than me what I'm talking about. Back in the day when we first started in this community. Banking is what we don't know and what we don't understand. Used to be a person would go into the bank, you know, some old saying from, I don't know, Frank Nitti or some pretty boy Floyd or somebody. He said, "Why you rob the bank?" He goes, "That's where the money is." But now they don't rob the bank. They become bankers. And then they rob us. My brother's not a robber. Plus, he's retired, so it don't matter. But you could still be banking. Let me get out of this business and come back to mine. And that is this fractional reserve lending system. Let me do a very simple, not oversimplified, but a simple explanation of this fractional reserve so that we can understand the need to have us overpowered by debt is the process by which they reproduce slavery. So it's not slavery in the way that it used to be, chattel slavery and the like, indentured servitude, whatever you might call it. It's tying you to your debt until you die. In fact, mortgage is in the word debt is in it, right? Amortization, death. So debt is very much tied to death. And debt can be the death of us if we allow ourselves to be overpowered by debt. So we seek refuge in Allah from being overpowered by debt. But to avoid that, you have to recognize the mousetrap that is debt. But that's the system. So the Federal Reserve lending is a banking practice where banks keep only a fraction of their deposits on reserve and then lend out the rest. The system allows the banks to create new money through issuing loans. How does the bank create money? It's when you and I sign on the dotted line. When I sign on the dotted line, I have created a debt for me, but I have created an asset for them. Because now they can put that debt on the side of the ledger that is receivables. So the more people I can get to sign, California, the Big Short, the more people I can get to sign on the dotted line, then the more I have created wealth for myself, because now you owe me, and that's an asset for me, it's a liability for you, and that's what the whole system is grounded in. We need more debtors. I can remember we'll be obvious now. I can remember when we in the church, when we would say the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's what we used to say. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? It was a time we were much more conscious of debt and the significance of debt, right? But then we come into an age where debt is the money. Listen to this. The ratio of reserves to loans is typically regulated by a central bank. Do you understand that our government is indebted to a central bank? And that central bank, called the Fed, doesn't answer to anybody but the owners of the Federal Reserve. Makes us think that it's government, a government operation. No, it's a private bank owned by a collective of private bankers. And it dictates whether the government is able to meet its debt by it, the bank, buying treasury bonds, which are debts that the government will owe to the Fed. And so the government is a slave to the central bank. I don't know what the county is now in terms of how deep in debt the government is right now. The last time I looked, which was 3-4 years ago, it was like $26 trillion. $26 trillion of debt, government debt, $26 trillion. Okay, my question is, and who do they owe that money to? Government is a nonprofit operation. It's a nonprofit. So government doesn't produce any widgets for sale. $26 trillion. You're not going to be able to collect enough taxes in order to pay for that. How's it going to get paid? We have to start talking World Bank, IMF, and the rest of that when we get into that. But let it be understood that our money is not controlled by other than someone who has a profit interest, and they also are the authorities over the government itself. But that's a quiet power, right? Okay, so the ratio of reserves and loans is typically regulated by the central bank, and it means that banks are lending out money they technically don't have and relying on the statistical likelihood that not all deposits or depositors will demand their money back at the same time. There's so much in this. Let me say the shortest thing I can say is like, let's use $10 billion. Government says, we need $10 billion. Central bank said, okay, we got it. The government writes $10 billion treasury bonds. The central bank says, okay, let's make the exchange. So we're going to give you Federal Reserve notes, and you're going to give us treasury bonds. So now you can take the Federal Reserve notes. Now think about that. If I give you money and it says Fahim Shuaib, I just Fahim Shuaib. So you got the, what's this? This is a Fahim Shuaib? All right. Okay, then you come back, hey, Fahim, I don't want this one. Which one you want? Because all you're going to get when you bring it back to me is more Fahim Shuaib. No gold, no silver, no other kind of hard asset. The only thing that your money is monopoly money. The only thing you can get with the IRS dollars, the Federal Reserve dollars. I keep saying IRS. Let me be clear. Who is the IRS? I know, mashallah. You know they listening. Listen. Who is the IRS? The financial police for the Federal Reserve. They're the financial police for the Federal Reserve. So if you don't do what's expected of you with regard to your debt, then here comes the IRS to enforce your debt. They're not coming on behalf. They are a government agency, but they're not really acting on behalf of the government. They're acting on behalf of the Federal Reserve. There's a lot to, I know. let's close out this portion. So the consumer, so when you have a system where, when you have a system like the one I'm trying to describe, and we've always heard the issue of supply and demand. Supply and demand. That's like simple. We understand that formula. We understand that principle. Supply and demand. But who's the supply and who's the demand? Right? We usually think about demand as the market. It says the market, right? And so we think that, okay, the store is the market. The person in business is the supplier. And therefore they are the market. No, it's actually the other way around. You and I are the supply. They have the demand. They need the money in order to do what they do. If they don't have money, they're out of business. So they have to create pressure for us who will get stimulus checks. Does that say anything to you? What were you trying to stimulate? We're trying to stimulate the economy. How are you trying to do that? We got to put money in people's hands so they can go give it to the businesses. Because without money, the business is out of business. So question, who's the supply, who's the demand? The demand is with the corporate side, the business side. The supply is you and I. So they have to push us to the extreme as consumers so that we can move money into the system or the system is going to die. So more and more, there are methodologies that are being used to get us to do unnecessary spending, things that we don't want, things that we don't need. They create the desire, they create the appetite, because they have a lot of widgets that they need to sell, but they can't sell it if there's no demand in you for it. So we create a system of commercial advertising, et cetera, that's based on the science of manipulating your impulses, urges, appetites, and desires to get you to hypnotically take that money that's in your pocket and go spend it on something that has no value in your real existence. And not only that, we will make these things, as I conclude, we will make these things that will collapse or fail or won't operate shortly after you buy them and force you to buy another. And if you can't afford it, well, sign on the dotted line. You don't have to pay now, you pay later. Another debt slave created. رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً تَمْمَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً تَمْمَا قِنَا عَذَابُ النَّارِ آمين آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الإسلام اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. This day have I perfected for you your way of life. Al-Islam is a way of life. There's so many questions in what I said. You could create questions from what I said in the few moments that I spoke. And Al-Islam has all of the answers. Al-Islam has all the answers. Let's see. One that kind of comes out, well, how do you avoid it? How do you avoid it? One way is, of course, what you can't afford, don't try to buy it. That's the beginning, right? And let me give it to you from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that intelligent questions is half of wisdom. And good friends, intelligent question is half of knowledge. Friendship with good and righteous people is half of wisdom. And he said, moderation in expenditure is half of economy. Moderation in expenditure is half of economy. So once you know how to be more moderate in your spending, you're halfway there, according to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever takes money from people with the intention of repaying it, Allah will repay it on his behalf. And whoever takes it in order to destroy it, meaning waste it, right, then Allah will destroy him. Hadith again of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, mentioning charity and refraining from asking people, he said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand, the upper hand being the giving hand, and the lower hand is the begging hand. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not perform a janazah for someone who died having debt. Oh, brother, let me see what you're talking about. Okay, here it is. Once while we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a dead man was brought. The Prophet was requested to lead the funeral prayer for the deceased. He said, is he in debt? The people replied in the negative. He said, has he left any wealth? The people replied in the negative. So he led his funeral prayer. Another dead man was brought, and the people said, oh, Allah's apostle, lead the funeral prayer. The Prophet asked, is he in debt? They said, yes. He said, has he left any wealth? They said, 3 dinars. So he led the prayer. Then a third dead man was brought, and the people said to the Prophet, please lead the funeral prayer. He said, has he left any wealth? They said, no. He said, the Prophet, is he in debt? They said, yes. 3 dinars. That is, he owes 3 dinars. And so the Prophet refused the prayer and then prayed. Then pray for your dead companion, meaning that you lead the prayer. He wouldn't lead the prayer, right? Then Abu Qatada, radiallahu anhu, Abu Qatada, he said, O Allah's apostle, lead the funeral prayer. I'll pay his debt. And then the Prophet led the prayer. Are you understanding how important it is to fulfill all obligations and to not live and die in debt? So being overpowered by debt has everything to do with how we handle our own economy, how we handle our own income. That's critical for us. So listen, strive to become debt free. That has to be a goal in your life. Strive to become debt free. Don't go home using excuse. Yeah, we got to be debt free, so you can't buy them shoes. And I say, don't put it on me. You got to work your own stuff out. Look, the idea is, there has to be moderation in economy. Teamwork makes the dream work, and all the rest of that. There has to be this cooperation. And let me say this about marriage too, as an encouragement to my unmarried brothers and sisters. Sisters need much less encouragement, but men, come on, bro, listen. Why do you think they call it matrimony? Matrimony ain't talking about the mattress. They ain't talking about the mattress. Somebody's more concerned about the mattress than the matrimony, right? You don't get him. Okay. Matrimony. It's the matrix of money. It's the womb of money. I can't get married. I ain't got no money. Church ticket. You get married, you going to find some money, and in a righteous way. Because married people are less inclined to criminal engagement. That's fact. When you get married, that pressure is going to help you find resources and potential that you didn't know that you had. That's why she's called a help meet. Help you meet yourself and help you meet your obligations. I know you're ready for me to end the quote by now. So I'm out. So the point is, you get married, the marriage itself is the womb for the money. Economy. Oikonomy. Oiko is the house. Nami is the law. Your economy is based on how you run your house. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Man dha alladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'iznihi. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والقتل والبخل والجبن والدلاع الدين وغلبة الرجال آمين اللهم آمين وأكرم السلام لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استووا استقيموا يرحمكم الله ويثابكم الله make our world straight and even a room of space for him straight down the barracks of our road and straight ahead from the green Allahu Akbar الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا أنت رجلك الذي أنقض ظهرك فأنا لك ذكرك فإنما على عسر يسرا إنما على عسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم والتين والزيتون وتور سنين وحيد البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. شكرا. الحمد لله. ياسمين حميد حميد السلام جلاني أكيل شهيد سمع منتصر الحمد لله جيروم لا all have September birthday الحمد لله may Allah grant them many more in health and strength. Oh, this bro right here, what's your name, bro? Dr. Zay had a Wednesday birthday. Okay. He's a calendar guy. He's a, yeah, that's right. Doc, I'm like, good to see you here. Standing tall. All right. September 9th, tomorrow, Muslim movement. We making a shift in the movement a little bit tomorrow, right? So, an ongoing movement class to get your healthiest self with physical fitness trainer, Ibrahim Shaheed, and wellness, health and wellness coach, health and wellness coach, Kiyama Nasir, 12 noon every Saturday. This week's class is going to be at Cesar Chavez Park in Berkeley, starting at 12 sharp. It will be exercising on the moon. So arrive early, bring a bottle of water and a towel, and so you can reach Ibrahim with regard to that. We're going to do a little moving, do a little movement, do a little moving, do a little movement. Alhamdulillah. September 9th, tomorrow, 12 o'clock sharp, et cetera. Get there late, catch up. All right? Time to be grateful. That's coming up. We want to keep in our prayers all. And there's a, well, I'll just go ahead and read the list. There's one highlight, and I'm going to read the list. Sister Georgetta Bias has actually been recuperating for much more than a week, I'll call her. So keep her in your prayers. Zakia Rashid Emmerichs, the sister of Ethel and Brenda. Khalila Marie Muhammad, Sister Veda Bartlow Hillock, and Imam Abu Qadir Alameen, Abdul Hamid Barakat, and Hodari Magavik. We're going to keep them in our prayers. Remember to check out the items for sale when you stop at the Zakat table, alhamdulillah. I think that's it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Super. What's going on? Please, isn't that it? This is one of the favorite things to do. Shukran. I'm someone blocked out.